From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 50-50 Podcast, presented by Physical Athletics. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, as well as an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition of the 50-50 Podcast, the 50-50 Podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can find them, for those of you in the local Borderland region here in El Paso, you can find them at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. You can also find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L Athletic. And you can also find them on their website at physicalathletics.com. My next guest, he is part of the, I guess you could almost say the Southwest region, right? It's in the name of the school. So he is the head women's soccer coach at the University of Southwest, which is located in Hobbs, New Mexico. Coach D'Angelo Garcia. Coach, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're excited to have you here. Thank you for your time. You ready to have some fun?
Let's rock and roll. I'm ready.
All right. All right. Here we go. All right. So before we kind of dive in, kind of get going with the questions and whatnot, and really kind of diving in into just in terms of, we're going to talk today, obviously, about your program, but also kind of peel back some of the layers a little bit in terms of the NAIA, right? The classification, the conference that you play in. A lot of people, we get to this stage and you have a lot of parents that may not necessarily, or even student athletes, obviously, they don't know what it is, right? They're just so used to NCAA. So we're going to look at that. But before we dive into that, Coach, tell us a little bit about just your general experience, your background, what kind of led you to the University of Southwest and your program. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah. So born and raised in Artesia, New Mexico, right down the road from us, about an hour away. Played soccer for, 4 years there in high school. Then got a scholarship offer to Wayland Baptist University. So I was there from 2012 to 2016. 2016 won the first ever conference championship, going, making our way to the national tournament, which was, phenomenal. And the year after, actually, was, offered an opportunity to be a graduate assistant on the men's soccer side here at University of the Southwest, coaching the men. So I did that for a year, specializing in the goalkeepers and, the other duties, that the head coach wanted me to do. And that summer, the summer of 2018, I was, offered the women's soccer job to be the head coach. But I was only offered to be the interim. So the university, they wanted to, take their time and throughout the hiring process. However, that first year, the interim year, we didn't win anything, but we did have a successful record. So we had over a 500 record. We made it to the first round of the Red River Athletic Conference Tournament, which was really, great. I mean, in terms of, I've never, took the control of a program. That was my first year coaching women. And, I thought it was awesome. So the school decided to finally make me full time, right after that. And so the year after that in 2019, I guess you can consider it my first, real year of coaching. We actually, made it to the final of the Red River Athletic Conference Tournament, winning that, making our way into the national tournament. So, it's been a neat experience so far, and I've been here ever since. And, it's definitely something that I enjoy doing, and I'm very thankful for having an opportunity to be here.
Right. Right. And, for our listeners that may not be aware, I know you're a big chunk of our listeners, not all of our listeners, but a big chunk of our listeners are obviously out of the state of Texas. So they didn't really have to deal with a lot of, whether it be college coaches, high school coaches, student athletes, parents, what have you. They didn't really have to deal with a lot of the constraints and restrictions that you had, that you all had in the state of New Mexico. Can you elaborate a little bit on that in terms of how did that just, obviously you didn't play a fall season, but how did that impact just everything in terms of the program, as far as just your student athletes, as far as school, campus, and obviously recruiting?
Yeah. So yeah, this year, I mean, I'm glad it's over with, to say the least. Yeah. In the fall, I'll kind of backtrack, you know, starting in the fall of 2020, once COVID was, you know, at its peak, at an all-time high, especially under New Mexico guidelines. So, you know, New Mexico was, you know, pretty much on shutdown, and, you know, we couldn't do anything. So, you know, it was very hard to manage a team, manage, you know, our day-to-day operations, especially not having a season. Now, we did have an opportunity to play in the fall. There were some teams in our conference that did play in the fall. However, you know, being in New Mexico, we couldn't, you know, it didn't work out for us. So, but my team, you know, they were still here on campus, following under strict protocol. We had a, you know, COVID temperatures, you know, or temperatures to test for COVID, or and the COVID testing rather. And just, you know, we had a special app on the phone for every single student athlete that they had to check in every morning to list any symptoms they might have. And that was, you know, very, you know, it's easy to kind of manage. However, it was just, you know, doing it every single day. I mean, it kind of took a toll, you know, especially for us coaches here. And you know, shout out to our athletic training staff here. I mean, they did awesome to kind of make us to be on our toes with everything, as well as the NAI, you know, we had to submit daily forms online to list any, you know, potential COVID, you know, student athletes that had contracted the virus, or any student athletes and coaches that, you know, are under COVID testing. However, if you did a COVID test, you know, you had a quarantine for the designated time. So, you know, with all of that being said, and trying to manage a team that didn't have a fall season, you know, motivation to instill into these girls, it was very hard. You know, we would have trainings daily, and the group gathering from our governor, you know, I think it was, you know, you couldn't have more than five per group. So me and my assistant coach would be out there 6 to 8 hours every day with, you know, groups of five girls. And if that's what we had to do, you know, that's what we had to do. And so, you know, it was challenging. However, we got the job done. So the next step right after that, you know, we got the fall over with, you know, the girls went home for Christmas break and stuff, you know, things like that. Now, when we came back, our athletic director had a very special, you know, I guess an idea in some sort of way, where New Mexico was still under shutdown. He was, you know, wondering how can we have a season for all the sports, not just women's soccer. His brilliant idea was to relocate us to Sky Ranch, which is a retreat camp near Tyler, Texas. So East Texas. And, you know, I remember whenever he proposed the idea to us coaches, you know, we're like, you know, hopefully this works, you know. And I mean, because if it didn't work, we wouldn't have had a season, you know. And there's teams here in the state, you know, I'm not going to name any schools, but, you know, that had a, you know, shut their season down. And, you know, our athletic director said, no, that's not going to happen with us. You know, he's also the head baseball coach. So he truly cares about the student athletes, you know, and he made sure his idea was, you know, going to happen. So, come spring 2021, we hit the ground running. We had our own preseason. That's when we had our preseason this year. I believe, yeah, it was right after Christmas break, early January, in the cold weather outside, running fitness tests, having two-a-days, and just getting ready for us to have our season and being at Sky Ranch. Now, it was an awesome thing to do, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. However, that was a challenge itself. And the reason why, you know, we were home away from home, you know, we're there for about 3 to 4 weeks. You know, girls are sleeping on bunk beds. You know, I believe there was only two showers for them to kind of share. So they're all, you know, conjoined together in a small, you know, not relatively small, but not really big either. You know, they're sharing a bunk bed with a teammate. You know, eating the same thing every day for lunch and dinner. You know, you're going to their cafeteria that they have, and you know, you're secluded from you know, like the nearest, you know, city and little town, you know. So it was fun, you know, and it was also challenging on top of that, Hector. I'll kind of throw a wrench your way. I was expecting my first newborn too. So, I actually wasn't there in the beginning until the last weekend. So, you know, we're expecting, and the little one, man, he took his time in the oven. So, you know, when he finally made his appearance on March 22nd, the day after, you see me going down there to Sky Ranch to be with the team. Right. And it happened to be my birthday too that day. So it was just, it was a lot of different things going on. And, you know, at least, you know, the main thing was to have our kids play, you know, the rest of the sports team play. You know, and that was a challenge itself, as well as, you know, every single game, since we didn't have a home field, we never had home field advantage. So we had to travel to all of the, you know, teams nearby, and and going 7-5, making it to the second, you know, well, we actually made it to the first round. We hosted here actually in Hobbs, New Mexico, kind of opened up a little bit. We hosted the first round of the conference tournament against Texarkana. And then, you know, the final four is in Texarkana, and they host that. So, you know, making it to the second round, playing our rivals down from San Antonio, Texas, you know, fortunately we didn't get the result we wanted in overtime, you know, however, you know, I was, you know, I couldn't be more proud than, you know, to the girls on what a season that we all accomplished, you know, so.
Right. Well, congrats on definitely what you can say will be one of a kind season, but more importantly, congrats on, so your firstborn, is that right?
Yeah, my first newborn. Yeah, so
yeah. Congrats on the little one to both you and your significant other. That's all. So if I heard you right, he was born on your birthday. So you all share the same birthday?
No, so he was born on March 22nd. I was born on March 24th. So I told my wife, I said, hey, we gotta wait two more days. You know, I mean. As it is, my birthday doesn't even matter now, you know, so I think it'd be
more
days, but, you know.
Yeah, he's got dibs. He's got dibs for sure. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's, you know, I imagine going through all of that, you really got put in, or you and especially your, you know, your squad, your team, you all really had to have gotten thrown in a situation where you guys had to really grow together, and you're away from everything. So kind of, I'm not going to say Spartan like conditions, but you know, you guys really, you know, it's all of you guys, you know, crammed into a little area there. So really get to know each other and grow as a group together. What would you say when you factor all that in, right? And now as we start to transition on our way out of COVID, you know, because I don't think enough people really factor that in terms of just the people, but you know, when we really say you all couldn't do anything in the state of New Mexico, you really couldn't do anything. I remember being here in El Paso, we had, you know, New Mexico State, the Aggies, both the men's and women's basketball teams, they played here at UTEP. And then you had, what was it? I know New Mexico State football, they played, I think they had a spring game or a couple of spring games here because they didn't play. They were one of the handful of D1s that chose to play in the spring, you know, so they kind of had to work their magic and be over here in Texas as well. So, but when you factor all that in, Coach, all of those components, everything you talked about, everything you went through, from your squad's perspective, right, your team's perspective, what would you say is now, as we're coming out of COVID, is maybe the biggest positive and negative as we come out of COVID from your squad's perspective?
So I mean, coming out of this, you know, COVID year, you know, and granted, I'm sure you already know, you know, with NAI, I know NCAA as well, but you know, everybody's granted their extra year, that eligibility year, so that year doesn't count, you know. So majority of my roster is coming back. You know, a lot of them that the seniors, you know, that we have an excellent grad program here or excellent grad school here. So they have plenty of programs to choose from, which is really good because, you know, I can also offer, you know, and help out with that with, you know, athletic scholarship money. So, you know, I believe we only lost just a couple. However, you know, majority of them are coming back because, you know, they're hungry and, you know, having our exit meetings right after the season, you know, hey coach, you know, they tell me, hey, you know, this season didn't count to me, you know, and I want to come back, you know, I want to come and we need to win, you know, and that's the spirit that the whole team has, not just, you know, my upperclassmen, just, you know, everybody all around, just because of what they went through, you know, and it's Hector, it's so hard to kind of, you know, I could describe it to you. However, it's different because, you know, especially myself, I only spent 3 nights at the ranch because, you know, of my son's arrival. However, you know, just being there and hearing their stories and hearing, you know, what they went through and things like that. Now, I'm not trying to make it seem like it was very bad. You know, they were doing things out there left and right, you know, zip lining and campfires, things like that. But, you know, it kind of built the team, you know, right. it joined them a lot more, and a lot better, you know, the chemistry, you know, is coming along where we want it. Girls are knowing, you know, each, you know, teammate differently and in a good way, you know, they're knowing their personality a lot more, you know, so, I pretty much said, you know, it's like a little retreat camp, like a preseason camp. However, we're in season, you know, so, that I think that's the biggest takeaway we can get from that is just the hunger that the whole team has to report back in August 1st this year. So, now the negative, I mean, it's really hard to kind of think of something negatively. You know, I think the only thing that being there and kind of, you know, just focused on season and getting, you know, making sure the girls are taken care of from day to day, you know, making sure we're getting from point A to point B and playing the games, you know, it kind of, it distracted me from my recruiting, you know, and, you know, and I'm just being honest with you, you know, I couldn't attend soccer showcases because, you know, spring's very, you know, come January, the beginning of January, hey, everybody in Texas where we have majority of our recruiting from, you know, El Paso, the Metroplex, everywhere, you know, they're starting their high school seasons with tournaments every weekend, you know, and come springtime, you know, all these tournaments are happening everywhere throughout, you know, Texas with the club tournaments, you know, so, you know, that's kind of, I would say would be, you know, negative, just terms of just, you know, recruiting. And, you know, when we got back and once season, you know, was ended and we got the girls meetings taken care of and everyone sent home, I mean, it's already, when was it already? April or middle of April or May, you know, and, you know, I would say, you know, I mean, we did the best we can with highlight and kind of just, you know, sending them virtual tours and stuff like that to our recruits. However, it just took my face and my, you know, assistant coach's face out of the game from us attending tournaments, you know? Right. So, and that's major for us because we want to be able to see all of our potential student athletes that can compete for us, you know, face to face. So.
Yeah, and I imagine it had to have been tough, obviously, not only for your girls, but also for you, your coaching staff, because, you know, in the fall, they saw other NAIA teams playing, you know, and they couldn't compete. They couldn't leave the state. They couldn't do anything. Or they could leave the state, but then they couldn't come back, right, without quarantining, which defeated a season. And the same thing for you all, right, which you just hit on with recruiting. So it's definitely got to be tough. I could only imagine. And you know, and that's been one of those, how do you feel you've adjusted to that going forward now that New Mexico's starting to open back up? And I'm sure maybe you've seen some of the backlash that's kind of been out there a little bit, amongst clubs and just kind of, not really the schools, not really the D1 schools, but there's been a lot of people posting out there that, hey, finally, you know, finally recruiting is open again because the D1 dead period is over. But the reality of it is, you know, the D2 is open a little later, but D3s, you know, the JUCOs and NAIA, they were always there, right? So how do you feel going forward? You you will adjust your kind of your recruiting method, your recruiting style, especially when you factor in what you have coming back as well.
Yeah. So, and to kind of piggyback about what you said about, you know, once the dead period was officially ended, you know, June 1st, you know, all on my Twitter and was just blown up. Oh, you know, like you said, you know, recruiting's back on again. It's nice to have coaches out here and, you know, all these different, you know, sorts of things that kind of describe about, you know, Division I schools. However, all of us other, you know, university or divisions, you know, Division II, III, you know, NAI, junior colleges, I mean, it's never ended. The only thing that kind of stopped us from, you know, being, you know, face to face was, you know, obviously COVID and the different, you know, protocols from the, you know, that, you know, government, whatever state you're in. So, you know, I try to ignore all of that and, you know, but it kind of just kind of shows you of how, you know, these generation of kids are kind of, you know, either being taught or being, you know, I guess talked to about whatever the case may be. You know, and it's to me, unfortunately, I mean, it's just, you know, kind of sad to see things like that. However, when we do, you know, I've had plenty of recruits sector before, you know, like it was in April or May, you know, I reach out to recruit, plenty of recruits rather. And, you know, if you, you know, the responses will, you know, hey coach, your school's too small. Hey coach, you know, I'm waiting for the dead period to end. Hey coach, all of these different sorts of things. And we, as a smaller university, you know, we're not going to, yes, we can look at, you know, for instance, we're recruiting 2021s right now, you know, girls that graduate 2021, right. But we're not looking at 2023s, 2024s. I mean, that's not who, you know, I'm looking either now and next year, you know, and I think, you know, with girls that are waiting, especially girls that are graduating 2021, waiting for, you know, opportunities to play at Division I schools, you know, that's great and dandy. But then, you know, these girls that I reach out to and they, you know, give me that response. And then a month later, hey coach, you know, do you still have a spot? You know, it never fails, you know? So, but moving forward, you know, like I said, majority of my team is coming back, which I'm thankful and blessed for, and which is kind of making, you know, recruiting a little less hard for me this year. So, you know, I'm putting a lot of time right now into the 2022 class. And, you know, we still have a few roster spots open right now for the 2021 that, you know, I have some visits lined up, you know, along the way. And, you know, with moving forward, you know, I think, you know, I mean, we'll be just fine. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's great stuff, coach. And, you know, I know you won't say it, but I'll say it for you. I think for our listeners, for recruits, you know, 2021s that are graduating or have just graduated. If you're still at this point, I mean, they're slim pickings, but if you're still kind of holding out for that quote unquote D1, they're not there. You know, your D1s of the world, they're looking at your 2022s maybe and beyond, right? 2023s for sure. As Coach Garcia just mentioned, they're still looking for 2021s there at the University of Southwest. Coach, you talk about, for our listeners, talk a little bit, I know, just briefly, just geographically, your location, Hobbs, New Mexico, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know where that is. Just tell us briefly, where that is, and just maybe just a couple of sentences on the actual university. You talked about the academics, what you're strong in, what you're known for as far as academically and majors. What can you tell us on that?
So if you look at New Mexico, you're looking straight at New Mexico, you know, pretend we're right on the, you know, not in the bottom right corner, but just above the bottom right corner. So, you know, I consider it West Texas still. I mean, the state right. line is literally 5-minute drive, you know. Yeah. So, you know, we're right, you know, kind of in the middle of, you know, the oil field industry. So, you know, there's you know, a lot of people think Hobbs is relatively small, and I'll be honest with you, every time I talk to recruits and parents, you know, they always think, hey, Hobbs is not the safest place and this and that, you know, but they also don't understand. I mean, you know, like just El Paso, I'm sure you have a bad, you know, couple of neighborhoods and spots, you know, it's just, that's just like how it is here in Hobbs. So, We're actually north of Hobbs. I mean, it's still considered Hobbs. However, we're just, you know, kind of out of, you know, in the country a little bit, just north. Mm-hmm. So we kind of isolated our own campus. It's kind of just off to the, you know, right off the side, right across the street is the New Mexico Junior College, right down, yeah, the street about a mile away. So, you know, we have, you know, we have two institutions, colleges, institutions, you know, right next to each other. So, and kind of, you know, talking about the academic side of things, yeah, so I, you know, we do offer, there's three different types of schools here. You have a school of business, which is our, I would say our popular, most, you know, enrolled students, where, you know, they want some kind of business degree, you know. Two, you have College of Education. So they, you know, offer, you can study, you know, education, special education, secondary education. So for those teachers that want to be, you know, a teacher sometime down the road, that's what, you know, you should look at. And also College of Arts and Sciences. So anything from biology to, you know, criminal justice, you know, things like that, that would kind of fit in that school. So yeah. I would say majority of my girls are in kind of, you know, some, you know, pre-nursing, criminal justice, business, and kinesiology. So kinesiology is a very strong, popular degree here at University of the Southwest. And the grad program. So, like, you know, I was kind of mentioning before, the grad school is very popular here as well. So they offer, you know, again, business, you know, arts and science, any kind of, you know, degree that's, you know, that you can kind of, you can either piggyback off your undergrad with, you know, that, you know, we offer. So for those kids that, you know, have dual credits coming out of high school, you can finish your undergrad in 3 years, and that fourth year of eligibility, hey, you know, enroll in grad school, and you know, you'll still be on your soccer scholarship, you know. So it's nothing beats almost a free master's degree, you know. So
right.
That's what we have to offer.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. You know, you talk about your location and how close you are to Texas, basically West Texas, kind of near the southern part of the Plains Panhandle, if you will, West Texas. But I mean, it's the same thing with me. I'm 15 minutes from the New Mexico border where I am as well. But yet you and I are what, about 3.5 hours apart. That just speaks to how big Texas is.
Right.
Also, you know, it's no mystery, obviously, in our discussions that we've had previously, it's no mystery that you recruit the state of Texas. And you've also, you know, you mentioned DFW, the Metroplex, and you've had a good amount of luck also recruiting out of this area, out of, you know, the 915 here in El Paso, and that kind of that pipeline that you have here a little bit. Talk a little bit about why, you know, obviously Texas, but also specifically maybe El Paso, what have you found from the players coming out of Texas and out of El Paso, and why do you feel you have good luck with them as well?
I'll give credit to when it's due. So the coach prior before me, Coach Josh Smith, he's now at Rogers State in Oklahoma. He's still a good friend of mine. You know, we still talk, weekly. I guess you would say that he kind of had that foundation of, you know, hey, you know, recruiting from the Paso, you know, region, the DFW region, you know, anywhere throughout Texas. I mean, you know, Houston, Vegas, you know. However, majority of my roster is, you know, El Paso, and yeah, just El Paso is majority of my roster. So you know, again, you know, all credit to him. He kind of helped get that, you know, build that pipeline, especially with the club coaches there, you know, Coach Donnelly, Coach Hondo, you know, those connections that we have with USW and with them, is kind of what helped, you know, build our roster the way it is right now. So, you know, and these type of girls, you know, hey, you know, you can find any, you know, hidden gem there in El Paso. You just got to look, you know, and you got to, you know, attend, you know, either the soccer camps that they might have, or go to high school games, club games that they play, you know, and those are the type of players that I look for, you know, and that's has done really well for us. I mean, you know, these players, you know, aren't necessarily, yeah, you'll have some, you know, every now and then some size and stuff. However, majority of my roster, we're not the tallest team, you know, and we're not the fastest team. We're not the strongest team, but these girls can, they can play with the ball, you know, they're very technical. And I think that's what's made us, you know, very successful so far, you know, and we rely on our technicality, you know, kind of helping us with our possession, you know, building up from the back, just playing with the ball and just kind of moving off the ball, find these open channels and let's go score, you know. So those are the type of players that we've had for the past few years. And, you know, that's what we continue to look for. So.
Nice. Okay. So, you know, the NAIA, right? Why should it be, you know, tell us a little bit more about it and just why should it be more considered by more student athletes? And if you could give like one key difference between NAIA and the NCAA for some of our listeners, what would it be?
So the key difference, I mean, I would say, you know, just the way the campus and enrollment is structured, right? So with NAIA, you're going to have your smaller, you know, majority of your smaller private institutions, whether it's Christian based or just, you know, it can be a public, you know, public NAIA school, as you know, as majority of our teams in our conference are that way, state funded schools, you know, that are NAIA. And a lot of kids, especially now, that have no idea, all they see is, hey, it's like Under Armour and, you know, Gildan, or, you know, some brand, that no name brand that no one wants, right? But hey, I want that Under Armour shirt. You know, that's the way I think that, you know, some of these kids think, hey, NCAA, you know, NAI, hey, it's an NCAA school, I want to go there. Especially, hey, what's the top level, Division I, I want to go there. You know, and when in reality, the parents and kids have no idea about the difference, you know, and to put it this way, I mean, Hector, we play so many NCAA institutions every year, year in, year out. You know, we play Division II Lubbock Christian every year. We play UTPB in Odessa every year. We played UTEP a couple of years ago at UTEP. We play Texas Tech this spring. We play Abilene Christian down the road from us in Abilene, which is the Division I. We tied Sam Houston State down in Huntsville, Texas, 2 years ago. We tied 2-2, you know, so I think some of these kids just need to realize the realization of there's no difference unless, I mean, well, there is some differences. However, when it comes to playing, you know, there's really no difference. However, you know, if you have a Power Five school and an NAI school, I mean, you know, majority of the time, we all can probably see, you know, guess who's going to win that game. However, you know, with some of the mid-major schools to the lower end of the Division I, you know, we can compete with, and Division II as well. I mean, Lubbock Christian, you know, my good friend Alex is going to hate me, the coach there, but you know, they came here and we, you know, we got the result we wanted, 1-0 at home, you know, and, or no, I believe 2-1, I believe. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's fortunate that I don't remember that, but you know, it, you know, to kind of, you know, describe the differences, I'm sure there's others, you know, funding and, you know, enrollment's huge about the, you know, one of the differences, you know, I'm sure there's other differences. However, you know, there's, when it comes to ball playing, a lot of the kids these days just chase that label, you know, and it's, you know, I wish, you know, they can, you know, some of them think otherwise, you know, and I deal with kids that, hey, coach, I'm going to, you know, this one school, which is a bigger school than us, but you know, okay, well, are you going to play there or are you just going to sit the bench? However, if you play here, I know you can probably be a first team all conference player for us, you know, and what do you want to do? You know, you choose your poison, you know, and then the right. Following year, they're in the transfer portal, you know,
right.
And you know, I mean, I have no connection with that, but I hear these things, you know, all us coaches talk. Right. And so right. When they see someone, hey, someone off your roster's on there, well, you know, or someone that you're recruiting is on the transfer portal from this school that they chose, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, I just want kids, you know, especially parents that may see this and come across this, you know, NAI and NCAA, unless you're speaking Power Five schools, there's really no difference other than, again, you know, the, obviously geographical location, the the school right. name, the program that, you know, the money, you know, the packaging that you might get financially, you know, with academics or athletic, whatever it is. However, the competitiveness is nearly the same. So,
yeah, I mean, it should go without saying, but in terms of so many people tend to not be very familiar with NAIA. So I'll mention it, you know, I've seen on, you know, the level of play, in the NAIA is pretty exceptional. I've seen some incredible play on both sides, on both the men's and women's sides of the house. And, I can probably count probably on more than probably a dozen occasions from what I've seen, you know, and going to different games, I've seen an NAIA, get the result and get a victory, over a, you know, a group, either a, you know, whether you want to call it a mid D1 mid major, very high level D2, a mid major, you know, group of five D1, whatever you want to call it. Like I said, on more than probably a dozen occasions. So yeah, absolutely. In sticking with NAIA, what would you say is maybe the one biggest misconception, you know, when you're going through that recruiting process and you're trying to educate people on not just on University of Southwest, but also the NAIA? What's maybe the one biggest misconception you battle about the NAIA?
From like a recruiter standpoint, or like the student that I'm recruiting, like they're thinking.
Yeah, just trying to educate them on, hey, what's the NAIA? It's like, I thought you mean to tell me you're not NCAA coach? What is the NAIA? Like, what's that biggest maybe misconception? Like, they think that you're just, you know, maybe you already hit on it, but the one biggest thing that always comes up that you feel you have to educate, you know, student athletes or maybe parents regarding the NAIA, is there one particular thing that's just a big misconception?
Again, I think, you know, I mean, personally, I mean, I'm still young, I'm barely 27. So this is actually my fourth year coming into, you know, this season. However, what I've experienced, you know, once you kind of tell them, hey, you know, well, hey coach, what division are you? You know, hey, we compete in the Red River, and we're in the NAIA. And that right there, once I kind of say that, it's either, okay, hey, I want to keep talking and kind of get to know, you know, what your school and program's about, or two, hey coach, you know, I either get ghosted, which I'm used to now,
yeah.
Or two, coach, your campus is too small, or, you know, I want to go to a bigger campus. And to be honest with you, I've lost a few recruits where they would rather go to Texas Tech to go just study and not play for an NAIA school. They rather go to Texas A&M or New Mexico State just to study and not play collegiate soccer for an NAIA institution and get a degree, you know, hopefully within the 4 years they're here. You know, that's what they would rather choose. So I guess, you know, to say the least, I believe just, you know, going back to kind of what we mentioned before, just the branding, you know, the branding. What I value about the NAIA, you know, they're very big into, I guess, just encouraging, practicing, you know, character, integrity, responsibility, you know, toughness, you know, just all these different things, you know, the NAIA that's what they're truly about. And right. So, you know, very big into, you know, I just lost sight of track, giving back to the community, you know, community service. That's what I was thinking of.
Right.
Community service and, you know, just giving back to others, kind of just, you know, helping out whatever event might be happening this weekend, going out to Habitat for Humanity and helping them with whatever project they're doing, you know, and, you know, actually I'm in charge of overseeing the whole community service for all the sports here. You know, we have to, you know, find some type of, you know, we have a certain number of events we have to do every year, and that's the minimum. You know, we can do more if we want to, you know. So that's what the NAIA is truly about. And, you know, we submit all of that to the NAIA, you know, and, you know, we have to, just because you're on a college team doesn't mean, you know, it's all fine and dandy and you just come and play and that's it. You know, we're constantly busy throughout the year. Even during season, hey, we might have a game on Thursday and this weekend you can't go home if you know whatever reason, but, you know, we have to meet at Habitat for Humanity, you know, at this location at 8 a.m. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's like that. So, you know, and that's one of my biggest things too with recruits. That's one of the questions that they ask the most, like, hey, do y'all do community service? Do y'all, like, you know, do we give, you know, go out and help, you know, one another, things like that. So, you know, that's, you know, what the NIA, you know, is primarily about. Now, however, on the flip side of things, the NAIA, I'll tell you this, the NAIA is not as strict as NCAA. So NCAA, I'm not very familiar with all those rules, because I believe every division might have different rules, and so to speak. However, you know, the NAIA does enforce rules and things like that, and bylaws with soccer and stuff. However, you know, it's not as, you know, binding or, you know, I guess strict. I don't know how else to say it.
Right. In terms of, restrictive. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's for sure. I think that's within the coaches. I think coaches understand that for sure. And it's explaining that to student athletes. We could also dive into that, and that could probably be a whole separate episode. Right. So you mentioned it a little while ago. You play, you know, your school, you play in a very, very strong soccer conference, the RAC, the Red River Athletic Conference. What, tell us a little bit about it, and just some of the members, and just what you've noticed in your time there, and you're describing it to a student athlete that wants to come compete.
Yeah. So, if you like traveling and you want to travel far, hey, we're the team to come to, because we're the most Western team in our conference. So, I know other schools hate coming out here. You know, I believe the closest schools that have our opponent, right, is in the Dallas, you know, the metro. I mean, that's still a, you know, 6 hour drive, 7 hour drive on a bus. You stop for lunch, 8 hour drive, you know. So, yeah. You know, I would say that's the closest. Then we have our rivals down in San Antonio, Our Lady of the Lake, you know, and Huston-Tillotson in Austin. You have Houston, Victoria in Victoria, Texas. You have Louisiana State, Shreveport in Shreveport, Louisiana. Louisiana State, Alexandria in Alexandria. Then you have Texarkana on the border of Arkansas and Texas, and kind of, you know, a little more, you know, a couple other teams throughout the region in Texas. However, the RAC decided to add three more institutions to our conference this year. So, they added another Louisiana school, Louisiana College, Xavier University. However, Xavier doesn't have women's soccer. And then Texas A&M San Antonio, down in San Antonio, obviously.
Right.
So, yeah. All these Texas schools and, you know, three Louisiana schools, and then us by ourselves in New Mexico, you know? So, If you love to travel, and, you know, I mean, that's what, you know, that's what it consists of throughout our conference. So.
Right. And I believe, what is it? A&M San Antonio, I think, finally starts competing this fall. Is that correct?
Correct.
If I understand that correctly. What's been the, what's the longest trip, or what will be the longest trip? Is it Texarkana, Alexandria? Which one is it?
From conference, or just, I guess, all throughout? Like regular season.
From your location in Conrad, like, what's your longest trip?
Alexandria. Oh my goodness. Oh,
yeah. What's that? 10 hours? It's gotta be.
No. I wish it was 10 hours. So it takes about, I would say, on a charter, about 12 to 13 hours to Alexandria.
Yeah. Okay.
Because think about it, Hector. I mean, our men's team travels with us as well. So. So we usually stop in Dallas for a quick lunch, and, you know, and then the bus driver, they're limited to a maximum of 10 hours of driving the day, you know, so, you know, but usually we don't play Alexandria right away. We'll play Shreveport. So we'll probably stop there, you know, and stay a couple nights and play them, and then go down to, you know, Alexandria. But yeah, I would, it's about a 12, 13 hour drive on a bus to Alexandria. So I would say that's a brutal trip. I mean, it's easy. All you do is I-20 all the way down. But it's pretty long.
All right. Wow. All right. Well, coaches, we start to transition here. Tell us what, as you look forward, right, you're going to have a very short summer, obviously. You know, you had a tough spring season that you played. Had the summer, and now you're getting ready to go back into it in the fall. What has you the most excited? And what can we maybe expect from University of Southwest women's soccer this fall?
To be honest, I mean, the most excited I'm about is that we're going to have, knock on wood, but we're going to have a normal season, hopefully. If everything is with COVID, hopefully everything continues to, go down a little bit. But that's what I'm so excited about, is having a normal preseason, you know, girls moving in dorms and just having that every day-to-day operation with training and games and scrimmages and, you know, traveling, not having to travel to everybody. We can host games now where some of these players, you know, their families can come watch and, you know, friends and, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, just kind of getting back to the normalcy of things, you know. That's, I mean, it's, you know, start, you know, hopefully not when everything, you know, when we start, I mean, it's going to be a good 2 years since we've had normalcy, you know? So that's, you know, and I know the girls are so excited. They're super eager to get started. And, you know, I know they're hungry. Whoever's watching, you know, a conference, you know, my team's hungry, you know, and they want to come back. They want to play and they want to compete and they want to, you know, they want to win ball games. And I know it's not always about winning. However, you know, no one wants to lose either. So,
right.
I guess we want to prove ourselves and the girls want to prove themselves that, hey, this year, you know, we were going through a lot and, you know, we had so many obstacles and challenges thrown our way. Now we're back to normal. So let's hit the ground running and let's go show them what USW women's soccer is about.
Gotcha. Well said. You in talks with the AD about trying to take them back out to the ranch for like a preseason this year, maybe to kind of redo that, that team bonding, that team building there?
I actually thought about that, but I don't think my girls would be too happy with that. So maybe not Sky Ranch. No, I'm just teasing. Maybe not Sky Ranch, but hopefully we can do something. You know, I've had different ideas, maybe work and just, you know, find somewhere maybe that's closer to home a little bit where we can just go in and enjoy ourselves and kind of just build that team chemistry. And matter of fact, I mean, there's a nice golf course right across the street from us and they have foot golf. So they have these big old holes that you can kick a soccer ball in. We've done that. I haven't done that with them. However, I've done that with the men's team. So, but I plan to do some stuff like that to kind of break the ice a little bit, kind of get everybody to, you know, relax, have fun. And then that way we can have a smooth preseason come, you know, August. So.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, no, for sure. Wish you the absolute best with that. All right, Coach. Well, hey, we know you're going to stick around here for our second segment. We're going to bring you back for Counterattack, where we get to pick on you a little bit, make fun of you maybe a little bit, and laugh at your expense. So for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Coach Garcia from University of Southwest.
Hi, I'm Armando Aguilar, Director of Strength and Conditioning at Physical Athletics. If you want to take your game to the next level, come to Physical Athletics. Our experienced staff of strength and conditioning coaches bases all of their training programs on a proven successful philosophy and years of research and scientific data. From middle school to the professional level, come see how we apply science to your game to help you improve your performance and reduce your risk of injury.
To learn more, visit Physical Athletics online at physicalathletics.com. Check them out at Facebook and Instagram at Physical Athletics and visit them today, 2270 Joe Battle.
Sun City Prep Academy is currently accepting registration for its postgraduate and elite youth academy teams for the upcoming training season. For more information, visit our website, www.suncityprep.com. Unlock your potential. Compete at the highest level. Find your future at Sun City Prep Academy.
And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can find them on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L Athletic, as well as on their website at physicalathletics.com. All right, so we're back with the head women's soccer coach of the University of Southwest Mustangs, Coach D'Angelo Garcia. All right, Coach, you ready?
Let's get it.
All right, let's get after it. All right, so rituals or superstitions regarding just everyday training session or game days as a coach, not as a player, as a coach.
Okay. Well, I thought you were asking maybe a like superstition that some weird superstitions I may have before games or something. So what were you asking?
Yeah, just are you super? You have any particular superstitions that maybe you do on game day, or you know, or on just every training session? You know, any or a ritual, anything, things that you kind of try to stick to?
So yeah. So for those that are listening, might think I'm a little weird. However, it started when I was a player, and I've had so many superstitions, and I just stick with them. So, and some of them might just be, you know, like for instance, you know. I always had to have it, you know, right before kickoff, I had to put a new piece of gum, the same gum every game. I have to wear my shades regardless if it's a night game. I either have them on my head, but my shades are on. So that's another superstition. When we have our first win that season, that first win, whatever outfit I'm wearing now, obviously I'm going to wash it, but I'm going to stick to that as well. So for shoes, I have so many pairs of shoes. It's not even crazy. It's not even funny. So if I wear a certain pair of shoes and it's like a red and we lose, hey, I'm not wearing red the next game. So, you know, things like that. I mean, they're all silly. However, you know, I don't know about a believer, but that's just, you know, it's in my head. So,
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing the stuff that sticks with us from our playing days, right? And they just continue as coaches, or we develop new ones as a coach. But yeah, interesting. Something we have in common. I have the exact same thing regarding gum for every game. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, I'm by no means on his level, but I'm just like Sir Alex Ferguson, who I'll wear out a piece of gum during a game by halftime. Really?
Yeah. What flavor of gum? What kind?
I go through, usually I have them right here. I have, I use one of two. Either here's a shameless plug here.
Extra. Oh, hey, that's the same gum. That's
Extra Refreshers, the spearmint.
Yep.
Or I do what I've done for a long time is this, the icebreakers, the ice cubes, peppermint.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of those.
No, I don't have it with me, but I have. Yeah, I do the same extra spearmint. I've been living by that since eighth grade, and I won't change my gum flavor. So,
yeah. So, extra spearmint. If you're listening, you want to, you know, sponsor a podcast. Here we go. Just gave you a free plug.
We're right here.
There you go. Awesome. All right. Emojis. Are you an emoji guy? Yes or no?
Sometimes. I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess with the soccer ball, you know, when we make tweets and stuff like that, and you know, the Mustang. But yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, and the heart next to my wife. So I mean, that's about it.
There you go. Yeah. Smart man. Good answer. Yeah. All right. Last book you read.
Goodness. I don't necessarily do books. However, I listen to podcasts more than reading books. But the last book that I've read was, I believe it was, Sir Alex Ferguson's, that book he kind of came out with a few years ago.
Was it Winning?
I don't remember.
That's the last one of his. That was the last one of his that I read was Winning.
Okay. It might have been.
I know there's been a few out, obviously. Okay.
Good. Yeah, I'll say it was that one.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. Second part of my question, which you just hit on, what's last podcast you listened to? We know you're a hardcore 50-50 podcast listener, but aside from us, last podcast you listened to?
Let's see. Shout out to Gary Kernin, the books he has. Mm-hmm. I have another third one. I don't know where it's at. However, you know, I love his podcast and what he, you know, the guests he brings in and, you know, what he has to talk. I've learned so much and, you know, it's nice to have and create these ideas from other college coaches and coaches that kind of been in the game for so long. You know, it's nice to kind of build your own ideas and kind of, you know, culture your own thoughts, you know? So,
Yeah. The MSC, the Modern Soccer Coach podcast.
Modern Soccer Coach.
Yeah. Great content for sure. All right. So a soccer specific question here, what is your favorite? So pro, college, you can't say University of Southwest. All right. What favorite and least favorite soccer team?
Oh goodness. So, I was raised with being a big Ronaldo fan. So, I follow him everywhere. However, I'm not a big Juve fan. But when he was at Madrid, I fell in love with Madrid. So, but my very first player that I actually admired was Thierry Henry when he was at Arsenal, so long ago when I was still a kid. But, you know, I would say, you know, Madrid's who we root for. And, you know, I have a picture here too of me and my wife at Sir Santiago Bernabeu. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So yeah. We on our vacation, we got to experience that. And then we got to experience visiting the Camp Nou 3 days after. So, and I would say that's probably my least favorite team. So
I knew, when I first met you, I knew you were a man of integrity. I knew you were a man. I'm also a big Real fan. Kind of grew up. It was bred into me growing up. Big Ronaldo fan as well. I mean, love Messi, don't get me wrong, obviously, oh, yeah. But I think comparing them to, I stopped seeing the point in that a long time ago because they're two totally different type of players. And I just started enjoying the fact that, you know, where then I'm able to watch their entire careers, you know, both of them. So they're exceptional players. And
even though I'm not a Barcelona fan, but I got this at Camp Nou, and that's real grass from the stadium.
Nice.
So there you go. Yeah. That's the only Barcelona thing you'll see me have.
Yeah, we're plugging all kinds of products here today. All right. Yeah, you know, speaking of that, today, speaking of the Santiago Bernabeu, I retweeted that on my personal account. I retweeted a, I don't know if you saw it. There's like a, they put out earlier today. They put out like a 45-second video of what the stadium's going to look like when the construction is done.
It's insane.
Yeah, very different. Very, very different.
I'm so glad that we got to experience of the original, how it looked before. Yeah. You know, I told my wife, hey, when they get this thing done, we're going to go back. So,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, Coach. So you are made the czar of soccer in America, right? You're it. You're the everything, whatever you say goes, right? You're put in charge of all of it. What's one thing you'd change, you know, in soccer at whatever level, whether it's youth, college, pro, whatever, what's the one thing you'd change tomorrow?
Hmm. They did give me on the spot with that one. Any level, I guess, like if I was just the main guy and I can do whatever.
Yeah, you oversee all of soccer in America. First thing you'd change tomorrow.
Oh, goodness. Ooh, man, that's tough. I think one of the biggest things is I guess let's make in order for US soccer to grow and for us to continue, you know, granted the national team got a big win the other night, you know, but if we want to compete at the world stage, you know, once the World Cup comes around and, you know, sending players, you know, to the Premier League, the La Liga, the, you know, Serie A, you know, all the Bundesliga, you know, all these different types of environments and leagues. We got to kind of figure out of where that needs to begin. And if we, you know, I'm sure we both know the answer, but, you know, if these kids overseas, you know, they're starting in academies that, you know, they can barely walk pretty much, you know, I mean, you know, not necessarily, but however, you know, they're young and I'm sure it costs some money, but, you know, I think with the way things are ran here in the States, starting at the youth stage, it's, I guess, you know, people think more of how to make more money than actually helping the youth out a little more. So how can we make and push the youth to kind of, you know, pursue what they love to do and make it budget friendly and, you know, and let's make these different academy teams. And I know there's academy teams with MLS and things like that, but you know, and let's push. And also too, I'll add another one, you know, let's women's soccer, you know, I mean, how can we grow women's soccer after they're done playing college? Cause you know, if you think about it, I mean, 90% of the girls that play college, you know, if you're not a Power Five school, I mean, you're not really going, you know, professionally, you know, unless you go overseas somewhere, you know, which is good, which is really good still. But how can we change that? So if I was in charge, those two things, I would definitely get my foot and you know, and hit the ground running and try to make these things, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot more if I, you know, kind of just think about a little bit. But, you know, those are kind of the two things I'll kind of stick to. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, with both of us coaching at the, on the women's side of the house and having coached at the, you know, at the women's college level as well, I can, yeah, could not agree with you more on the women's game for sure. Absolutely. Well said.
More opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Who would, you know, they're making a movie about your life, right? Who would play, what famous actor out there would play you in a movie?
Well, it better have to be a nice body, first of all. So they can't have somebody that just slammed 12 tacos down or something like that, you know? So, goodness. Well, one of my favorite actors, I mean, well, he doesn't look like me either, but, you know, I love Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, he's probably, you know, he's always been one of my favorite actors. Ben Affleck's one of my other favorite actors. Marky Mark Wahlberg's also. So I'll probably have to spin the ball on that. And hey, you're playing me in this movie. So
there you go. Sweet. All right. Those are good, pretty good choices there. All right. Besides going back to the Santiago Bernabeu, what's a bucket list destination for you and the family before it's all said and done? Bucket list destination for you?
Bali. Nice. Yeah. So we were actually supposed to go there last summer, but COVID hit. So we had to rechange our plans.
Of course.
But still on our bucket list. That's still where we want to go. And we're going to make it happen hopefully soon. So I would say, you know, if I were to die next week or whatever, you know, I need to go to Bali and go see it for myself. So I love the ocean. We love the beach.
That's awesome. Good. That's a first. That's a first for sure on this one. So that's good. So out of everything you've seen, everything you've binge watched this in the last 15 months, right, since the pandemic started, Netflix series or on any other, you know, any other platform, what's been your favorite one that you've watched?
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. I think Jose Mourinho's Tottenham documentary just come out on Prime.
All or nothing.
I love those. I've seen the Pep Man City one probably 5 times. Like it's so good. But I would probably say the Tottenham one was up there too. Yeah. So that was probably one of my favorites that I've seen. I love documentaries. I like, you know, kind of getting the behind the scenes look of things and getting to know how Mourinho is and thinks and the players, you know, the camaraderie that they kind of build in the locker room and just getting a firsthand glance of how things are ran at the biggest stage, you know. I love seeing that. I love watching that. And the next thing I've been wanting to watch was that new documentary with Alex Ferguson. You know, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So I've been wanting to see that. But you know, I like other Netflix shows. I love. This is very, you know, I'm being very honest, but I love the Narcos Netflix, you know, stuff. You know, El Chapo, Narcos Mexico. I love that stuff. You know, Pablo Escobar. You know, just. I like the action and, you know, I know it's not the best things to watch, but, you know, I like seeing those things. So.
No, but they're good. They're dramatic. They're very good. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Invisible or super strength? Super strong. Which one?
Super strong.
So you'll go with super strong. All right. Yeah. All right. That was a quick one. Good. All right. Yeah. Funniest that you can share, funniest moment that you can recall, in training or in a game from one of your players, one of your coaches, something.
Oh man. So it's probably not the funniest, but it's very embarrassing for me. I believe it was 2 years ago. We were playing at home and our ref, for some reason, the middle ref, like he just made a terrible call. And I know, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're just being biased or whatever, but it was, at least to me, it was a very bad call. And I didn't have my shoes tied. So I went to go kick. I punted the soccer ball as hard as I could and as high as I could. And my shoe just went flying onto the field.
Nice.
And I sent my assistant to go get it. And I know it was very bad. And I apologized and stuff. And I was very embarrassed. But I mean, there was nothing I could do from that point on.
No red card on that one?
No. I think he actually cautioned me, but I didn't get a red card. I've never gotten a red card. So
no, straight red. You didn't get sent back to the locker room with just one shoe, nothing like that.
No. he just cautioned me, and yeah. So I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right, Coach. Last one. This one I ask of everybody. Okay. So, pandemic's over, is completely in the clear. You got family coming in, out of town family, everybody, you know, you got your coaching staff, your team, everybody's coming over. Big Sunday dinner. You're the chef. What are you cooking?
Mexican food, baby. Come on now. Hey, I love all types of food. I'm not picky. I love seafood. I love, Italian, but hey, Mexican food, if I was, I can live off that every day. And specific, tacos, soft tacos with pico de gallo and avocado. That's all I need. And roasted jalapeno. I'm good. So
I was about to ask you, because so my wife's from Albuquerque, right? So I was going to ask you, in your neck of the woods out there, are you a green chili guy?
Green chili all day. Yep. Oh goodness. Yeah. I love green chili. I eat green chili almost with almost every meal we have, right, we make at home. And right. I'm either, put the jalapenos with some oil and put it on the grill to roast a little bit and peel it and eat it with my meal I would just bite into it just like that. Or, put some cholula on my eggs with some green chili as well. Man, I'm putting everything on it. So
Yeah. People don't believe me. I tell them all the time, you go in, when we go up to Albuquerque, regularly, visit family, visit my wife's side of the family. And they don't believe me that it's like, it's on everything there. It's on the pizza. It's on everything.
Yeah. jalapenos on the pizza. And listen, hey, my wife, she's full white. So, she got into this phase like, hey, I'm eating, hey, you make me a green chili too. And she gets mad if I don't make her a jalapeno as well. She gets mad at me. So I think I taught her right hey, this is how you eat it. So,
yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's good. And I'm glad to hear that. So Coach, this has been great. Loved having you on. You gave us a lot of great info just in terms of, your program, the NAIA. Obviously we had some fun with you just right now with Counterattack, but the truth of it is, I just wanted to commend you and tell you that, appreciate everything that you've done for your program, for your girls this year, because very few, I'm not saying you're the only one, but very few schools, very few programs, very few teams can say that they've really had to endure what you've had to endure this year in terms of, on top of obviously everyone's in the pandemic, but all the other additional restrictions and constraints and protocols, and just being able, just flat out being told you can't do things while other schools in your conference or other schools in the surrounding states around you are being able to do what you're being told you can't do. So just wanted to commend you on that. And I say that I appreciate, I can tell you guys are going to be ready for the fall season. So congratulations on keeping, on staying the course, keeping your girls program on the course. And just wanted to, before we go, just wanted to throw it back out to you. Any final thoughts, anything you wanted to share with our listeners, anything before we go?
Yeah. I mean, I just, I appreciate you having me. I think it was very sudden you just reached out to me about 2-3 days ago and, hey, I want you on my podcast. Let's make it work. And, it's truly an honor to be on some type of platform like this and to kind of expose, our what our program's about and to kind of give others a deeper, a listening on how things are kind of ran with NAI and, specifically our program. So, this is definitely an awesome tool to kind of utilize for those that, need answers and want answers and kind of get a more in-depth analysis of, how everything is with NAI and our program. So, I condemn you as well on taking your time. And, I'm sure, you have family time that would love to spend time with you right now. But, hey, I mean, you're doing all of this. And, I think it's pretty awesome. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, as much as I value family time, they're perfectly okay with me just being away. They're like, we don't need you, Dad. You're good.
Yeah.
It's always between either the Bachelorette or something else, or some singing show is on or something. So this time of day, I tend to be an afterthought. So
that's what you got to do. And also a reminder to everybody that, is watching as well. I mean, you know, we previously mentioned on this, but yes, we're not the only program that's still recruiting right now for 21. So if you're a 2021 and you're either a JUCO transfer that you're still waiting on a home, or a senior that just graduated and you still, you know, you're thinking about giving up on your dream to play at the next level because no one has reached out or this and that, hey, we're not the only program that still needs 2021s, I promise you. So there's other schools, especially NAIA schools, you know, junior colleges, you know, that we're still all in search, majority still in search for 2021s. And so all it takes is for you to do a little homework, research, make calls, send emails, you know, check your emails first.
No ghosting. Right.
Yeah. No ghosting. I hate that. It's my biggest pet peeve. But
absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Can't say that. Can't stress that enough. Absolutely. So, all right, Coach. Well, hey, we appreciate you. Thank you for being on with us. We're excited to have you on, and especially with kind of short notice, but we're excited to have you on here on the 50/50 podcast. And again, for our listeners, definitely look up, you know, there, you know, do your research in terms of the NAIA. Obviously there's more out there besides just the NCAA and the NJCAA. But very high level of play, and, you know, and they do, just like D1 and D2, they also offer both academic and athletics scholarship aid. So do your research on that. And Coach, before we go, I know we did put it on here earlier, but do you have any upcoming camps or anything, any info you need to plug as far as your program goes?
No camps. It's been a while since hosting, you know, having a camp and stuff like that. However, I will be attending camps around the area. So I usually be up at UNM, Texas Tech. I'll be at, they have a camp this weekend. However, I'm not going to be able to make it, but I will be at the two camps, hopefully in July, that they have. So definitely take a look at, you know, the camps that are offered throughout the region. I'm sure UTEP might have a camp that you can look at, New Mexico State. But, you know, us, you know, smaller institutions, you know, we kind of tag along on these bigger camps. And we work and we like to, you know, I've signed one of my all-star forwards from the Texas Tech camps. I saw her next week. She's on a visit. Following week, she committed. So, I mean, all it takes is for you to get out there. And, you know, if you want to invest into your future, I mean, you got to make a little sacrifice and investment yourself. So, you know, you got to do some research.
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to share that info with me, Coach. We'll make sure we get that out there as far as what camps you'll be attending. And sure. I know you mentioned UTEP. I know they put something out today. They're going to be having, I think what's really going to be maybe under this new coaching staff, their first actual college ID camp that they've had out here. I think August 21st, I think it is.
Okay.
20th or 21st. Don't quote me on that. I think it's okay. That was the 50/50 podcast retweeted that earlier in the day. So for sure. So wishing you nothing but the best, Coach. Thank you for being here. And for our listeners, again, get out there, do your research. For our student athletes, they're still actively looking for 2021s. Okay. So again, you got to get past that D1 or bust, you know, mentality, because there's so much more out there. The real goal is to be part of the 7% that plays collegiate soccer. That's what the ultimate goal is. And being able to find what is the right fit for you in terms of, you know, academically, geographically, all of those components. Okay. So, so again, you can find us, for our listeners, you can find us both on Twitter and on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter at 50_50pod and on Instagram at 50_50podcast. You can also find all our latest podcasts. They first hit YouTube. So you can find us, just search at 50_50podcast. You can find us there as well. Thank you again for all your support. You're the reason why we do it. And until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.
You've been listening to the 50/50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod and at Coach H. Cano, as well as on Instagram at 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.